thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Verse 24 of John chapter 20. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, so that would have been today, a week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. You will know of many of the miracles that Jesus performed. He healed countless people of diseases and sicknesses of every kind. He delivered many people from the evil spirits that were tormenting and dementing them. He turned water into wine. He raised people from the dead. He multiplied food. He calmed storms. He even told the disciples where to put the nets to catch the fish. Many, many, many miracles. And John says in his gospel, Jesus did many more miraculous signs than he actually recorded. But he said, the ones that I have recorded have a very specific purpose. And he gives it here in John 20, 31. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. None of the miracles that Jesus performed, none of them were an end in themselves. Jesus' healing of people was never just about the healing. Jesus casting a demon out of the person was never just about casting out a demon. Jesus feeding a multitude was never just about feeding people. People being raised from the dead, it was never just about people being raised from the dead or the storm being calmed. Every miracle that Jesus did was a sign pointing to Jesus, pointing to the fact Jesus is the Messiah. I'm the Son of God. That's who I am. That's why I'm doing these things. It's not just about the healing, not just about the deliverance, not just about the food, not just about the resurrection. It's about me. I'm the Messiah to bring you to God. And of course, the greatest miracle of all was his own glorious resurrection from the dead. And over a period of 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus was appearing to the disciples and to many others, of course. In Acts 1:3, it says, he gave many convincing proofs. What about that then? Convincing proofs that he was alive. He was seen by so many people. His resurrection life was completely indisputable. But what does that mean for me and for you? Well, John says all of this is recorded so that we might believe that he is the Christ. Don't look at the miracle itself. Look at Jesus. He's the Son of God. And by believing on him, you will have life in his name. I was thinking about that this week, this life that we have. It's spiritual life. It's fullness of life. It is eternal life. Spiritual life. God never created human beings to be purely physical bodies or even just physical and emotional beings. God created people in the beginning as spiritual. Do you believe that? Spiritual beings whose primary purpose on the earth was to know and love God. That is why God created human beings, so that we could be in a relationship of love with God, our wonderful creator. God is spirit. John 4:24. He is spirit. And our spirit needs to be alive to connect with God, to be able to worship God, to speak to God, to hear God. When Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God and rebelled against him, they brought spiritual death on the whole of humanity. This inherited sin, the spiritual deadness, keeps us all separated from God. It's the great chasm we've been singing about tonight between God and humans. Paul says in Ephesians 2:1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins. But although spiritual death came with Adam's sin, it left all humans with an awareness of a spiritual void, because God has put eternity in our hearts. Some people call it the God-shaped hole that can only be filled by him. It's an awareness of something outside ourselves, something greater, a greater power. If you look around the world, every tribe, every people group, and every nation, people worship. It might be the sun and the moon. It might be trees and plants. It might be animals. It might be carved out idols. It might be human leaders. It might be themselves. It might be their children. Everybody worships. We were created to worship. But the point is, we were made to worship God. We were made to fellowship and worship with our Creator God. And even though sin has corrupted that and distorted that, we still ache to worship. And indeed, we will worship. Jesus came. He came to bridge that chasm between humanity and God caused by sin. We're singing about it tonight, honestly. Does it not just make your heart dance with joy? He took our sin upon himself on that cross. That those words say that he wore our sin. He bore our shame and our guilt. He died the death that we deserved. So that what? So that we could receive his life. Spiritual life. Oh, the moment, the very moment we come to Jesus Christ believing, we receive life. Our spirits in that moment are made alive. Isn't that wonderful? Your spirit that was dead, you couldn't connect with God. You might have sung hymns. You might even have said the words, I worship you, God. You couldn't, because you were dead. Your spirit was dead. But the moment you trust in Jesus, your spirit is made alive in him. Wonderful. And that very moment, the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells you. Some Pentecostals don't believe that. They think you only get the Holy Spirit at the baptism of the Spirit at some point later. No, no, absolutely no. You need, you. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not a Christian. The moment you put your trust in Jesus, God's Holy Spirit indwells you. Can we grasp that? No longer separate it from God. We can now communicate with God. We are now connected to God. We can now experience, we do now, not can now, we do now experience the very life of God because he's in us by his Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, 4, 5. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Hallelujah. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Wonderful. Even some people who have believed and have become Christians, they have very little idea what this spiritual life within them means. So they don't live in the possibilities of it. I don't think any of us fully understand it. Well, we don't. Paul's letter to the Romans in particular, particularly chapter 6 through to 8, probably the greatest insight in the Bible. Not easy chapters, mind you, as to what it means. But listen to these words. But if Christ is in you, is Christ in you? Obviously not physically in his body, but by his Holy Spirit, whom he has sent. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? It's not, certainly not ours. It's Jesus' righteousness. So our spirit is alive. And if the spirit of him, of God, who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. And then wait to hear this in verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit. This is the spirit, your spirit that has come alive. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry to God, Abba, Father. When people heard Jesus calling out to God, his Father, they were looking, they were listening, they were thinking, there's somebody who knows how to pray. There is an intimate connection between a father and a son. And the disciples were like, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they saw Jesus pray like that. Friends, he has put the spirit of sonship into us. Our spirits have come alive with the spirit of sonship. And by him, we ordinary people can cry to Almighty God, Abba, Father. Connection. A spiritual life. And the Spirit himself, that is the Holy Spirit himself, who's in us, testifies to our alive spirit that we are God's children. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are God's children. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God. If that wasn't in the Bible, that would be outrageous to say that. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. This is spiritual life, folks. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. That's spiritual life. It's not something we're waiting to get in heaven. Too many Christians living, waiting for everything in heaven. That's going to be great. It's great here. Spiritual life is now. It's not just in the, you know, the distant future or the near future or whatever. It's now. He has made our dead spirits alive by believing in Jesus. Don't settle for anything less than experiencing the real connection with God through the Holy Spirit in your alive spirit. Do you get that? Somebody said amen. One person got it. He gives us spiritual life. He also gives us fullness of life. Don't you love it? Say if you're going to buy some new contents insurance for your house. Most people will go online, they'll look on one of these big comparison websites, trying to get the best deal. Difficulty with that is some providers make it very difficult to make a true comparison because they change wee details. Like if you take a high value item out of your house and it gets lost or stolen, or maybe you've got a water leak in your house, as we found out a few years ago, how much excess you have to pay, all those kind of things. Important, small but important details make comparison difficult. Jesus never muddied the waters, ever. He gave a clear, brief, and perfect summary of what the devil offers you and what he offers you. No muddy in the waters. You just need to read it, make the comparison. John 10:10. The thief is the devil. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. There it is, black and white. That's what he's given. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's the comparison, folks. From the word, from the mouth of the Son of God. That's the comparison. The thief, to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus, to have life and have it to the full. What do you choose? What do you choose? This new spiritual life that Jesus offers is life to the full. Jesus said on another occasion, he said, the devil is a liar. He only speaks lies. He's a father of lies. And one of his most common lies is that Jesus wants to ruin your life. Is that not one of his most common lies? Because what will he do? That's what the devil says. He'll get you trapped into all that boring religious stuff. Is that what he says? You won't be able to enjoy yourself anymore. You won't be able to do really fun things. The devil says, you'll have to read your Bible and you'll have to pray every day. Your life will be as good as over if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. That sound familiar? Is that an old argument you've heard in your head? It's a lie. It's a blatant lie from the devil. And it's as old as humanity itself, but it's surprisingly effective still. But look at the reality. Have the things that the devil describes as fun, do they bring lasting happiness, peace, or good things into your life? Or do they eventually bring sorrow, pain, and misery? Nobody is arguing that sin does not have a very strong element of fun and pleasure, because it does, and you'd be foolish to argue that it doesn't. But the Bible is right when it says in Hebrews 11:25, the pleasures of sin are fleeting. Have a look at the longer term effect of following the devil's idea of fun, and you find nothing but misery. Broken families from the secret fun of a wee fling on the side. Broken lives from the enjoyment of lots of nights out drinking with the pals. The heartbreak in many families from people seeking one high after another through drugs. It doesn't actually matter what you chase in life to find fulfillment unless you turn to Jesus Christ. You will never have fullness of life because God intended you to have fullness. But part of that fullness, or the whole of that fullness actually, is not material possessions. It's not experiences. It's a restoration of the relationship with God that you were actually made for. That is fullness of life. Without it, you're not living. That's what it's all about. And once you come to Jesus, he can begin to open up his plans and his purposes for your life. You're not just living for yourself, following a dream or maybe even a nightmare, but following his purpose, what he has planned for you, finding real fulfillment, real peace. That's what Jesus offers. Fullness of life. And finally, eternal life. Spiritual life, fullness of life, eternal life. In some ways, they're not three separate things, but they're all together. Sometimes we are all so caught up in what's happening here and now, we forget this life isn't the end. The Bible clearly teaches, Hebrews 9:27, man is destined to die once, and after that, to face the judgment. It's a truth most people, I would say, try to push out of their minds. It's an uncomfortable truth. They don't want to think about their mortality. They don't want to think about the reality of judgment before God. And if they do think it, they're thinking, well, we'll try and weigh up the good and the bad, and hopefully the good will outweigh the bad. But the truth is, none of us can hope for the good to outweigh the bad because we're sinners and our sin will separate us from God. Jesus said very clear, not Jesus, rather Paul said very clearly, if you have not received Jesus, you will receive the wages of your sin. And the wages of sin is death. And again, we have the comparison, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have it. What do you want? Do you want wages of death or do you want the gift of eternal life? Now we know here that the death that Paul is speaking about, it's not just physical death. We will have already experienced that. It's much worse. It's the second death. It has been cut off forever and ever from the love and the presence of God. Can't even think about that. Being cast forever into the lake of fire. The Bible uses so many words. Outer darkness. Place of torment and agony. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Many don't like to speak about it. Because it seems so awful and so final. But friends, that is why we must speak about it. Because it is so awful and so final. We speak about hell. We speak about eternal separation from God. Not because we like to. But because we need to warn people. And tonight, if you're here and you've never yet trusted, truly trusted in Jesus, you need to trust him. Because if you don't, this is the fate, the sure fate that actually awaits you in hell forever, cut off from God. But this evening, we're not just here to warn you. We're here to point you to Jesus, to the one who saves, to the one who delivers, to the one who welcomes. He is standing with arms outstretched towards you and he's saying, come to me. I am the Son of God. Come and receive the free gift that I offer you, eternal life. He bought that gift for us on the cross. He bought it for us. That's what spiritual life is. Spiritual life is the life of God, is it not? It's the life of God within us. And God is eternal. And the life that he gives us, eternal life, is God's life within us. But you need to accept it. You need to accept the gift that he offers. But eternal life is not just something we receive after we die. It is something we receive as soon as we trust Jesus Christ. I don't die and then I have eternal life. I have eternal life now. Do you have it? It's a part of spiritual life that he gives. And wow, our lives, with all their good times and all their bad times, take on a completely new significance when we have eternal life. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. How many of you could stick up your hand, if you can get it up, your sore shoulders or something, and say, yep, all right, I know, I am wasting away. I am becoming older, I'm more decrepit by the day. You're wasting away, folks, we're wasting away. That's our bodies, the temporal, the mortal. We get to hear, though, yet inwardly, our spirits we're talking about here are renewed spirits that are alive now in Christ. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Is it happening to you? Christian, is it happening to you? Because that is an evidence that you have eternal life. Yes, you maybe struggle to get out of bed in the morning, or after a day's work, you lie down knackered and fall asleep in front of the TV because your body's wasting away. We just have to face that fact. But inwardly, that spiritual life, our spirits are being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Not just on a Sunday, I hope. Not just on a Sunday. Monday morning, read the Word of God, get the fuel in. Praise you, Lord, renewed this day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us, this is God's purpose, they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. How does that happen? Because when you receive God's free gift of eternal life, there is an eternal purpose comes into you. And no matter what you are facing in life, be it good, be it bad, be it downright ugly, it is working for you an eternal weight of glory. That is how God works. See, it's not just about, I'm saved, I tick the box and I'll hang in there till I get to heaven. No, it is not that. It is God's wonderful life in us. So Paul says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but in what is unseen. For what is seen, well, that's just temporal. But what is unseen, that is eternal. So friends, this evening, as I close, this is why John wrote his gospel, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Spiritual life, fullness of life, eternal life. That's what he offers. That is what he offers. I urge you tonight, if you haven't trusted in him, put your trust in him tonight. Believe on him. And if you're a Christian, give yourself a shake and say, come on. Come on, Spirit, you're alive. Are you in the fullness? Are you living the eternal life that Jesus has given to you? Yeah, Mark says earlier about me down there getting too excited singing that song. That's a new one. Well, friends, here it is. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. If that doesn't get you excited, yeah, you need a wee touch in that spirit. You need a touch in that spirit because this is who Jesus is. He died that we might connect, know, love, worship, and be heirs of God. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a savior. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for life. Life, life, abundant life. Jesus alone is the giver. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you tonight for this wonderful, wonderful gift of life that we find in you because you are the source of all life. You are the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who was promised. And thank you that although we have not seen you, we believe. We believe. Lord, I pray tonight for any who are here in this meeting who have not yet believed, Lord, that they may believe this night in your wonderful name and that by believing, they may have life. And I pray, Lord, for the many here, the majority, who do believe. Lord, for all of us, sometimes, Lord, it just feels like we need another wee injection of life. We need to be reminded of truly what it is we have received and to live in the glory of it and the fullness of it. Because truly the life of God is within us. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.